Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning.
Today is October 20th, 2021.
That'll be correct.
And we're here at the Gateway Center in Metro Atlanta. My name is Daniel Enger, and I have the pleasure of being here today with you, Terry. I'm grateful to you for taking time to talk, and I'm looking forward to hearing your story and to learning from you.
Okay.
My first question is a real big one, Terry, namely, please tell the story of your life from the time you were a small child up to the present day, and please start by saying your name.
Okay, well, my name is Terry Edward Williams. I was born in Miami, Florida, and October 29, 1966, I was born in a family, a big family, a loving family, a caring family, a spiritual family. You know, went to school, you know, was taught all the right things, had food on the table. You know, even when it didn't seem like it was much to my mother, but it always, she made enough for our household, you know. I went to school, finished school. I dropped out of school in 12th grade. Why? I got caught up into the lifestyle of the streets, the drugs, you know, the action. The action that brought me joy, and so that's when I started living a life of crime. Do I regret it? I regret a whole lot of some of the things I did, but did I enjoy it? I enjoyed it, you know. I can be honest about it today. Because I fall back on my spiritual side, and which was what I was brought up in, spiritual family. Well, 1987, I came to Atlanta. Full of excitement. It was so much to do, but I also brought my lifestyles of crime with me. So, just doing crime and living and enjoying, spending money, buying up everything, making everybody happy. I came to have a taste of getting myself in trouble and getting locked up. I first went to prison in 1990, 3 years later. You know, got out 2 years, which was Niagara, got out a year and a half, 1991. And still, I was excitement to the lifestyle of drug, alcohol, and crime. A passion, I was young, so, you know, that's what we did. That's what I did. Well, I end up getting myself in more trouble. Going back to prison. Well, this time I went to prison. In 1992, I got out in 2002. Now I'm older, I'm in my 30s. Well, with a hard living, hard background, it's hard to get a job. So I turned back to the streets and what it had to offer. Crime, clubs, all above. Anything that came with the streets of Atlanta, that, you know, what a black American with no job, right there, doing drugs, yes, plenty of drugs, plenty of drinking, you know, at an all-time high, drinking and drugging at an all-time high. In the process, I really just didn't know that what all I was doing is set myself up for failure, but I didn't see it. You never see it. You never know when the ladder gonna come up under you. Okay, that's all fine and dandy. Now, I'm a convict on the street, so I'm back to, you know, living street life, selling drugs, buying illegal merchandise, reselling, doing everything that the streets had to offer in Atlanta, which still has to offer. Which I'm not doing it today, thanks to my high power. Well, I get 2007, I go back to prison. You know, it's short spans. The fun don't last long. You know, the laughter don't last long. I got more sadness than laughter. But while I was in prison, I have went and finished and got my GED. So I got back out again, 2006, 2007. I got back out 2011. Now I got almost 20 years in prison, in jail, the institution. 20 years of crime. Now I'm on 30 years of my life with drugs and alcohol addiction. Fun that I thought it was. You know, wasn't fun. Didn't know until at the end it wasn't no fun. Because I didn't know what was at the end of the road. But it was something at the end of the road. I went after I got out and I'm on parole. I went and I got certified in HVAC, heat and air. And it was great. School achievement, I went to achieving certain things, but it still wasn't no fun. I still had the mindset of the streets, the women, the clubs, fast cars, big houses, a multitude of things, which I thought it was fun. It was fun for the moment. Now, coming to a relationship, sneaking, doing drugs, snorting cocaine, drinking beer, popping ecstasy. During the day, during the night. I got a fiance. I've been in a relationship all this period of time. But the drugs, the alcohol, the lying, the cheating, the denial statements, secret, I could say your secret garden, it started to take a toll on my life. Didn't even know the ladder was getting short. battle was getting short. Well, when it got to be about 2016, 17, I started experiencing homelessness. That was only due to I got tired, sick and tired of going to jail, prisons, I don't spunk the multitude of my life in there. So now, I don't want to go there no more. I can't get a good, decent job. So now, the sadness set in, the homelessness, sleeping wherever you can sleep, eating wherever you can eat. There's only two types of people on these streets at night. It's a predator and it's a prey. Unfortunately, I wasn't the prey. So I took advantage of the weakness of the other people, which other people took the weakness of me in some certain areas. Every dime you got, every nickel you got went to drugs and alcohol. You ate. Well, I ate in spurts. I might eat today. I might not eat again for 3 days. But I'm getting high. But at the same time, not only was the ladder getting short of my life, but my health was dwindling. Ripping and running. Getting high, having fun, which I thought I was having fun. My health was deteriorating. So I ended up in the hospital. They running tests. Nah, I'm finding out I got a multitude of health problems. Congested heart failure. Arthritis, I can't stand up long. I can't see, my eyesight gone. Which brought me to Gateway in 2018. But I left Gateway, recuperative care, still getting high. The drugs and alcohol addiction is very powerful, baffling, and cunning. I live for drugs. I live to use. Snorting cocaine, popping ecstasy, drinking all day and night. That's what I liked to do. That's what I love to do. I didn't like it. I love to do that. But the ladder was still getting short. I didn't even see it. Experience homelessness. Sleeping where you can. Eating where you can. Going to truck stops. Sneaking and taking a shower, brushing your teeth. Going in the store, taking a cup, putting water in it, brushing your teeth however you can, rinsing your mouth out. Picking, sometimes you find yourself doing all the wrong things to eat. Well, it led me back to being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Homeless now 3 years. Body aching, body in pain. Well, the Lord just opened my eyes up one particular day in the morning. Tears running down my eyes. I remember asking, I went to the bus stop and asked the bus driver, I need help. And I need a ride to Gateway. I don't have any money. I'm on drugs and alcohol tremendously real bad. Never forget what the bus driver said, modern bus driver. He said, if you want help and you asking for it, I will help you get a ride there. And he put me on the bus. He let me on the bus. When I got to the train station, he made it where I can get on the train to go to Gateway. And I came to Gateway August 19th, 2020. And I came to the front desk and spoke with some other people that I know. And I didn't know it. My life was beginning to change because I had a spiritual side of me. And I didn't know what to expect. You never know. You never know what's in store for you. But I entered this program called the Upward Program. It's for drug addiction, substance abuse. Well, all this while I thought that drugs were my problem. But let me tell you, let me give you the truth. Drugs was not my problem. I was my own problem. It started with me, it ended with me. And when I came in that door, beat down, with no hope, I didn't have nowhere else to go. If I didn't come in that door of the Upward Program, I wouldn't be living today. I wouldn't be living to tell you this story. But my higher power, God as my choice, He took over my body, my soul. I didn't do it. Yeah. I was told I had a purpose. You know, I had a purpose. He wasn't ready for me to dissipate, get killed, or whatever, my health. He had a purpose for me. And my purpose is carrying on right now today. Well, anyway, I'm homeless. I wasn't staying in the place for human habitation. Well, I went through the program. I learned. I soaked in all the knowledge that came with drug addiction. I came to understand that if I just change my thinking, I can actually change the way I do things. I can actually change the way that I perceive things. I can actually change the way that I live life. and living life on life terms. That's the way that we live in today. Well, I soaked in so much knowledge because I love to read. I'm a reading person. I love to learn. I love to listen. I love to listen to learn, and I love to listen to learn and learn to listen. Well, this was my first time in rehabilitation outside of prison and jail. So the time that I wasn't on drugs, that mean I was forced to because I was incarcerated. But this time, I came in because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. It was another way to live. And that was the way that I was brought in this world to live. Well, after about 5 months just studying all the books, the AA, the NA books, going to meetings, tremendous meetings, just learning about myself, reading the Bible, you know. I eventually changed my way of thinking at all costs. Well, by this time, you know, I'm on disability. The pain, the suffering, my health, all that. Now I'm living up under the government. I can't stand up long. I can't bend long. It's a lot of things that I can't do that came with having fun that I thought. Well, I was introduced to a program called Step Up Program with my mental. I got mental issues. They came with it. You can believe that. With all the shooting and stabbing and everything going on in the streets, the lifestyle of drugs. Plenty bloodshed. So my mind is not what it used to be, but with me going to my behavioral health therapist, my psychiatrist, and taking care of my substance abuse all together, I actually realized that something was working and something was changing. I got a new chance. I got a new chance at life. I went from homeless to homes. I'm living in my own 2-bedroom apartment, fully furnished, king size bed, 65-inch flat screen TVs, living room, bedroom, food throughout the whole house. I cook my food now. I don't need that. I buy and cook 95% of what goes in my body. I enjoy living life on life terms. What I recommend, and I can actually say for myself, for having mental issues, very much mental issues, is you have to take care of the problem with that individual together, his mental aspects and his addiction to disease. They have to be taken care of together. Because if you take care of one problem without taking care of the other problem, you still gonna have it got to coexist. If you can get a person to listen, I was taught and learned. Who the best teacher to listen to an addict is another addict. The days of me in the ditch, the days of me starving, the days of me not taking a bath, the days of me not cutting my hair, the days of me not brushing my teeth. Another addict. We'll take heed to that. It's not easy. It's never easy. But it can be done. You know why it can be done? I did it. People before me did it. People still doing it. It starts with honesty. That's the gateway to recovery. Being honest about your situation. Making amends to the ones you hurt. Your family members that you hurt. Your kids. The man at the store that you used to go in there and steal his candy and his beers. The restaurant used to go and snatch the sandwiches off the rack. I mean, you have to make amends, but you also have to make amends to yourself. See, it started with me. It ended with me. So from one addict, from one homeless person to another, I like to tell you, it can be done. I did it. That's my story. Once again, my name is Terry Edward Williams. I'm glad to be able to share my story.
Terry, of all of the things you've accomplished or overcome in your life so far, what are you most proud of?
Out of all my accomplishments, the most thing I'm proud of having my life back. I am proud of the person that God put me on earth to be. I'm proud that my mother had the chance to see me change. I'm proud that I'm sitting here and I can speak about my change. See, in order to change, I had to be the change.
Terry, you've gained a lot of hard-fought wisdom from experiences in your life so far. Now imagine, if you were invited to share your wisdom with school kids in your community, giving them guidance to live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives, what would you tell them?
First of all, as a teenager, when you see them going around that corner as a young teenage male, please don't go around there because they doing something that they ain't got no business. That's all it take. It take that one time to go around there and you see the women going around there and you see the shiny objects. You see the cars. You see the designer clothes. I suggest you stay in school because you're going to get the same objects the right way. And you're not going to lose them. Because in my lifetime, I gained the fame, but I lost it tenfold. And I got a record to prove everything I'm saying. It's so thick. I had so many names. I didn't know my name sometimes, my actual name. I don't think I ever used Terry Williams in the last 20 years. Don't go around that corner. Continue going to school. It'll work for you the right way.
Terry, in what ways would you say that your life is going well these days? Please talk a little bit about how life is good for you at the present time.
Well, life is good for me right now. I manage money. I can buy what I want when I want. I might can't buy no mansion, but I sure can buy me a ticket to the museum. I can go to a ball game. I can sit down and treat myself to a meal. I can buy me a hat. I can buy me a little designer cloak because I'm doing it the right way and it's mine. I can smile because I'm honest today.
Terry, what's behind that? What led to those things going well for you? How did it happen? Who or what has contributed most to your doing well these days?
I blame it all on my higher power. It wasn't me. It was God. It wasn't me. I couldn't have did it. I couldn't have done it. But it took my hide to be skinned up. It took me to get drugged around. It took me to actually get shot, stabbed, pepper sprayed. Oh man, everything that you can name. It took all that for me to realize I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. But you can look at me today. Yeah, I survived. I went to the war zone, the street zone. I survived. It's a lot of people hadn't survived. I'm one of many. It's a lot of people not here to tell their story. And I suggest, listen to what I say, because it's true. I've been there, I've done it. It's not no myth. What I'm telling you can't get in no encyclopedia. You got to get this in from really living. Like I said, everybody ain't live to tell a story. Unfortunately, I'm one. I didn't die in the streets. I survived the streets.
Terry, looking ahead now, when it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, what are your hopes and dreams looking ahead?
Well, my hopes and dreams looking today is all them years incarcerated, me reading books, me reading literature. I learned the law. I don't go in places that can turn to a bloodshed. I don't, when I go to parks and recreation, I go places where people like me that's want to live. I don't have to be seen today. I don't have to be in the limelight today. I'm somebody today. And that's what helps me live today. It works for me. But I'm living to tell a story, so it works.
Terry, as you pursue your hopes and dreams, what are some of the personal strengths you can draw on?
Well, my personal strength that I can draw on is my mother, my kids, my grandkids, because I'm someone they can count on now. Oh, don't forget now, I'm someone I could go in my pocket and buy them something because I didn't spend it on drugs and alcohol last night. I'm somebody now that I can honestly know how to tell people no and mean it. I am somebody that make decisions about my life today and mean it. I'm somebody that you'll like to meet because I'm honest. And I love achieving goals today. Oh, by the way, I'm about to take my CDL driver license, so I'm headed in another direction of my life. So I'm doing this today. You remember I told you about that ladder? It's getting snatched. When the ladder gets snatched from up under you, you go down. Well, I'm not doing that today. I'm going up. Those are some things that keep me motivated. You know, thinking about going to a Falcon football game. Hey, yeah, a Hawks game. Yeah, Georgia Bulldog game. Yeah. But I'm living today to be able to make those decisions. But if I can help one person every day of my life, I did my job. Remember I told you I have a purpose. And I can't keep the blessings that God bestowed upon me. I have to give them back. If I don't give them, if I close my hand and hold my blessings, how can I get some more? I got to let them go. I have to help others because someone helped me.
Terry, what are the challenges and obstacles that you see standing between you and the realization of your hopes and dreams? What holds you back?
Well, I'm just finna tell you. I told you I'm very aggressive. Don't nothing hold me back. The only thing hold me back is me. And I'm not holding myself back. I go to sleep at night. I'm sleep 9:30, 10 o'clock. Of a good game on, I try to stretch it if I can watch it. But I'm up at 6:30 every morning. So the mind frame that I got, I can't be held back. I'm not that person today. I'm very ambitious.
Terry, what needs to be done so that challenges and obstacles can be overcome so that you can realize your personal hopes and dreams?
Well, the challenges for me The challenge is for me. I've been through my challenges. I mean, I'm on a different path. Because see, first of all, everything is a two-way street. I stay on my side of my street. The streets that I know about, that I have been on, I don't cross the double lines no more. I carry on. I network with people just like me, and we come to terms as a whole and help people that used to be like me. Because everybody deserves a shot and a second chance at life.
Terry, let me please to now switch to the community, defined as you would wish. Tell me first, how would you describe your community? Who are the people who make up your community?
Well, my community, I live on the west side of Atlanta. And the west side of Atlanta was full of drugs and prostitution, you know, crime. You go to sleep at night, you know, if you're in the streets, you know it's some people not going to make it. But how I describe my community, my community is not like it used to be. I mean, all kind of nationalities have moved in my communities. White, Asian, Chinese. It's because the world is changing. And peoples like you and I helping it change. We speaking to in existence what we can and what we cannot do. But there's only one thing. Drugs and alcohol cannot play a part in it.
Terry, when it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, how would you describe the hopes and dreams of people in your community?
Well, the life and the world that we're living in today, I just suggest it's we have to shorten the nightlife. It was a point of time that the fun places like clubs and stuff used to close early, 12 or 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Now they open at 5 or 6, 7 in the morning. I think they have to cut that back out. And if you limit a person consuming alcohol at all times of night, you'll cut back on a lot of other things in the wee hours of the night. Now, that's just my suggestion, because it did work. You look at crime now, and you look at crime then, when they close early, and statistics, it'll show you.
You told me a minute about your community, about the people in your community. What do you think they aspire for? Terry, what do you think they dream and hope for?
Well, every person that I ever met in my life, they dream of success. We dream beyond our imaginations. We we basically inspire our families, our loved ones. If they can be better than me, or if I can help them be better than me, or the people in my community can help the young generation be better than themselves, we did our job.
In your community, Terry, what are some of the strengths that people draw on as they strive to realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives? What are some of the strengths that people in your community have?
Network. Being able to sit down and speak with other people. Being able to dream. First and foremost, being able to read and write. Education is the key to success. If we can inspire our Boys and Girls Clubs to produce much more things for the younger generation, we can actually bring upon stronger education. We can have more doctors. We can have more lawyers. We can have more teachers. We can have more astronauts. We can have more nurses. We can have more other people just like you and I that who willing to help other people be successful. Believe it or not, it don't take nothing but a little words of encouragement.
Terry, what are the challenges and the obstacles that make it harder for people in your community to realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives? What holds back the people in your community?
Well, sometimes we have people in that we look in and we look up to at high standards. Like some of our politicians, some of our leaders. We vote them in. Do they actually do what they say they're going to do if they got my vote? I'm not inclined to say so, but if you read and you see like I do, yeah, everything people say ain't pieces of cream. But that does not stop us from gaining love and respect for another leader. Because if that one don't do it, somebody will. So I'm not gonna stop because one bad apple don't fell out the tree. It's just like tires on the car. If they get bald, get some new ones.
Terry, what needs to be done so that the challenges and obstacles you just mentioned can be overcome and people in your community can realize their hopes and dreams?
What can be done?
Yeah.
Well, we have to keep soul searching. Like I say, We are mayors, governors. I mean, everybody right now in high position, if they stop trying to cut each other's throat and just be who they are, be the person that you are. Say what you mean and mean what you say. If those people can just do the little things, we'll bring our whole communities back as one, as being happy, as being loving, as being caring. We can go on picnics again and have fun instead of going out here and going on a picnic and don't know if I'm gonna make it back. They cutting each other throats. So what do you think that does to the people on the bottom of the chain? If the people's on top of the chain cutting each other throat, that make the little people do the same thing. We have to come together as one. And I guarantee you, it worked before. It can work again.
Terry, on that same vein, I'd like you to imagine for a moment that you're a powerful leader. You're somebody who is a decision maker who can really make things happen. My question is, how would you change the system to help people in your community realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives? As a powerful leader, how would you change the system?
First of all, I bring the cost of college tuition down. Make it more affordable for the people who don't have it. Give more grants for the less fortunate. Because if we can put people back into books and encyclopedias instead of Instagram, TikTok, you know, Twitter, and put people back on what's real in America, we'll accomplish much more. The people today, they want to get a facelift, they want to get a lift in the buttocks. If you just be the person that you are and stop trying to be the person that you're not, we as one will be better off.
Terry, my last question for you. Imagine you had $1 million and you could spend it to help your community realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives. How exactly would you spend that money?
I'm going to tell you what I do right now. First of all, I'm going to take 50 cents and buy me a Coca-Cola. But I'm going to take the rest. And I'm going to open more libraries. Because if I can put people back and gaining more knowledge, open their eyes and ears to ideas, understanding that they are somebody. They can reach their goals. If you study hard, it'll pay off. So me, for the young generation, the middle generation, even the older generation, I want more libraries where you can be at peace, when you can get all the resources that you need in whatever areas that you need, that's where all my money will go at. And I'd be happy. And I'll sleep at night to know that someone in some area have learned something different that day.